Hey guys, I'm Tim.
And I'm Caleb.
I'm Tyler.
And this is the Board Game Rundown presented by the Game Talk Network. Tonight we're going to talk to you about some new games coming out, Kickstarter. We've got a topic or two we're going to discuss, maybe share a game that we're kind of crazy about right now. But first, before we get too far, you have less than a week when this comes out to buy tickets for Protospiel South Bend. Protospiel South Bend is a game convention where game designers show up and you play their prototypes. It's kind of cool, right? You get to see them before they come out. We have weekend badges for $50, playtester badges for only $10 for the whole weekend. So you could show up, you get to try a bunch of other people's games, enjoy the fruits of their labors, maybe see a thing or two before it hits Kickstarter or even your local game shelf. So it's pretty cool. I'm excited about it.
Oh yeah, it promises to be a good time.
So, I mean, at the very least, you're gonna see a ton of games that nobody's ever seen in various levels of production, and we will have some people there that have been published. So it's not like just me sitting there with a deck of playing cards going, hey, I made this game up, right? There's gonna be real people there with real games. So anyways, Protospiel, it's on tabletopevents.com. You can find it there, just look up Protospiel South Bend. Hope to see you there. Moving on, Kickstarter has a couple of crazy things out right now. Did you guys see Marvel United?
I did, yeah.
On Kickstarter, so it's like Cibon.
They look so cute.
Right, so they're getting into the chibis,
right?
The chibi models, so they got like big heads and
uh-huh.
Goofy bodies.
Yep.
I have played like Arcadia Quest that has those, and I don't know, I don't think gameplay is going to be similar to Arcadia Quest.
Right. But see, I was actually disappointed, because I was like, oh, Cibon's making a Marvel game? I'm looking forward to like really cool, like, you know, Marvel minis and oh, they go on the like
cutesy,
little,
chibi.
Little cutesy route. Okay.
Well, I think because like okay, Funko, like
right.
There's all those Funko games right now,
right.
Or variations of the same Funko game.
Right.
So I think they're kind of doing that without doing that.
Right.
There is, and now I'm a bad host because there is a Marvel game with miniatures.
Ooh.
That just came out.
Good miniatures.
Oh yeah, really good miniatures. Ooh. Not
see,
painted, so you
all,
have to.
It's all about the plastic for me.
Oh, the fancy bits is what we talk about with Bob. We like our fancy bits. So yeah, it's doing gangbusters on Kickstarter. There's a $60 pledge, a $90 pledge
right.
with an expansion.
Right.
And then that's not even counting the other expansions and things you can add on.
Right. Typical Kickstarter stuff.
Which I kind of hate because if there's like an all-in pledge, I just want it to have everything.
Everything,
like,
right.
I don't want to just like this and this and this. Like, no, just give me a
right.
pledge that's got everything and I'll be fine.
Right.
I don't think I'm going to back Marvel United.
I'm pretty selective with mine, so I don't think I will either.
But I might know people that are, so I'm sure I'll get to play it and then probably regret not backing it.
See, I might have if it had, like, actual,
like
full form minis.
Rockin' minis,
yeah. Like, I might have in that case, but
It's Marvel. I mean,
the cutesy thing
somebody's going to buy
it,
yeah.
Oh,
right.
Lots of somebody's
yeah.
have bought it. So there's the thing I did like, though, is it's fully co-op, like 1-4. I enjoy a good co-op game.
Right.
It's pretty fun. You can sit down with your friends and beat the game, right? So,
right.
But it's got to be difficult.
Yeah. Well, that's always the interesting balance with co-op games is it has to be difficult enough to provide the challenge, but it can't be so difficult that the game is unwinnable or
right.
feel or not fun.
Sure. It can be unwinnable if it's fun.
Right.
But, I mean, because then when you do win, you're like,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
you're like, rah!
Yes, yes. There are a lot of high fives, flexing, yelling,
right.
shouting at the box. Of, you know, like it's, you know, whatever. It's fine. I'm weird. I do that. Another huge Kickstarter, and this one is more appealing to me, but I like the game company, Druid City Games. They did like Grim Forest, and
right.
I'm eagerly awaiting my Tidal Blades
right.
Kickstarter. There's been delays with that. It's fine. Whatever. It's Kickstarter. There's always delays. Doesn't
right.
matter. But anyways, Wonderlands War, it's from 2 to 5 players. There's like a deluxe edition for $80. There's a retail edition for $50. And then there's like this whole thing where you can spend even more money. And instead of getting like the wooden, or not wooden, cardboard tokens,
yeah.
you can upgrade to plastic tokens. Which seems to me like that should be in the deluxe edition. But the deluxe edition just has like
right.
miniatures instead of standees.
Right.
Just fine. Whatever. I probably won't back this one either. But it's really just kind of timing for me right now. It's like not a awesome time.
I looked at it and it just doesn't interest me that much. The art style's nice, but
sure.
I was gonna say this game reminded me a little bit of, and I believe it's Quacks of Quedlinburg.
Quedlinburg.
Yeah.
Quacks
of Quedlinburg. I cannot pronounce that correctly, but that's the game I'm referring to.
As in it's like bag building.
Yeah, I like the bag building esque to it. And there is still a battle that takes place. I feel like you just pull out the tokens and you reveal it, but you know.
Right, because there's territory control and things like that. I'm not like, I have friends or I know people that are like love and obsessed with like the Alice in Wonderland theme. I'm like, okay, it's fine.
I never understood it.
It's not enough to like sway me, right? It's not like an IP where it's just like, oh, my money.
Right. Gotta
take
have
all
it.
Of my
right.
money.
Have you ever thought about Alice covered in blood, though?
I mean, I guess you could probably find some fan fiction that's got that.
But it's a board game version.
I'm more interested in the Jabberwocky. Like, I don't care about the Queen of Hearts or Alice or the Mad Hatter. Right. Like, I want to be the Jabberwocky.
Right.
And the problem is, with my friends, we're all going to want to be the Jabberwocky. And then I'll be stuck being Alice. And it's going to be real awkward because I'm going to think that I was supposed to wear a dress when we show up. And everybody's going to look at me weird. It's going to be a whole thing.
Wait, I thought that was just normal Tuesday.
Shh. Quiet, you. All right, Tyler. I know this Kickstarter you want to talk about.
Of course I do.
Because we talked a little bit.
You start with Marvel. You talk about being disappointed. But this next one, very excited for.
Okay. Lay it on us.
All right. So ANZ is coming out. They've released, I believe, 5 now. And, like, they had the original, and then they had 4 other, and, I mean, this is now going to be a 5th expansion. It's going to be an expansion, but it's a play-alone game.
So it's standalone, but it can be an expansion?
Right.
Okay.
So you can take what's in this and still play it towards the other...
Sure, sure, sure.
Right. But it's the Outcast version, okay? So you're going to have new characters.
So it's not Andre 5000 and Big Boy? No? Okay, sorry. I couldn't resist. Please continue.
Anyway.
You were doing so well, and I just threw a wrench right in there.
Anyway, so I've played the original.
Right.
And the thing that I see improving with this game is the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I wasn't wowed by the artwork initially.
Right.
But it wasn't, like, bad or anything. I just wasn't. Some games you're just like, whoa.
I kind of like the style. I think it looks pretty good.
Sure.
From my, you know, quick kind of like Google searches.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, but you haven't played Aeon's End, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So. But yeah, so anyway, the original start-off game, graphics weren't that great. You know, people didn't really connect with it as much. But anyway, the game still was awesome. You have a big boss who hurts a lot.
Right.
And he hurts your whole team a lot.
Right.
And you kind of just flick at him until, like, just, you beat him.
Right, over and over and over, right?
But still, it's a deck-building game.
Like,
you know, you have a character that you play,
mm-hmm.
and throughout the campaign, you upgrade your character, you have a starting deck.
And that's not even the legacy version, right? That's, like, just even the regular campaign
right.
you can upgrade? Okay.
Yeah, so, like, you start with a character who's not great, and you build him up.
Right.
And I should say my favorite part of the whole series is the storyline. You have a storyline that starts with the beginning, mm-hmm. and they keep reusing characters, and there are a few characters in this one that I don't want to release any spoilers for.
Okay.
But
are they outcasts?
Yes.
Oh.
But the previous games mentioned characters that weren't revealed yet,
sure.
and now you get to play
now
them.
Now you get to see them and play them. That's kind of cool, especially if you're into the lore.
Right. And with, you know, the other games, so as a game to teach,
mm-hmm.
it's a very easy game to teach. You open the box and it literally has a, like, stop what you're doing, look at me, and read me. And then you read through that.
Right.
And so you can sit down with just about anybody, as long as you can read the directions, and do exactly what it tells you to, step by step.
Sure.
It has your deck already shuffled. You don't do anything. You just open it up and you play.
Sure.
So that's another great thing I like about the game is it's a deck builder and you can teach it real easily, especially if people have not played deck builders before.
Right, right. Yeah, I get it.
But yeah, so, on Kickstarter, it's got several It's an expansion.
Oh my gosh. It goes from $69 to $325.
But that covers all of the expansions that are being
released. Right, so the $325 gives you everything that's ever come out.
Well, there you go. There's your all-in.
Man. You said you wanted an all-in button.
No, I do. I do. And I love good rule books, right? Because I hate bad rule books so much.
Yep.
But I'm going to play Tyler's. So I don't need I get the all in. I'm gonna piggyback off this boy right here.
There you go.
to be fair, uh-huh. I have a lot of kickstarted games, and
you do.
So we can share the love here a little bit. We get one of your games played. You'll be excited, right?
I would love to play some Aeon's End.
See, and I need to play it more. I played it one time. I was kind of tired. I was like at a convention, end of the night, and I'm like, okay, this is fine.
You know,
whatever.
Tim, from your stories. That seems to be the magical time when you play games that you hate.
Oh,
like,
no, wait.
Like every game I've ever heard you talk about.
Champions of
Midgard. Where you go, it was late at a convention. You're like, I didn't really like it. I didn't really like it much.
So you're just saying I'm a crab, like when I get tired and I need my nappy nap?
Yeah, you probably turned into a pumpkin.
I was
going to
say,
10.
This game could be a little lengthy in time. Because like I said, you got to build up your deck.
Sure.
And, you know, that has cards in the game you can buy.
Right.
Because that you're starting with a deck that allows you to buy. And throughout the game, it gives you other cards to buy, but it gives you an option. It says you've used these in the last battle.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some new ones, and you get to pick and choose which ones you want to keep. And therefore, you're still adapting to what you can put in your deck, how you're going to build it.
So it's always evolving. And I, honestly, I think I would like it more if I played maybe like a second scenario or whatever, like second mission and then like the third mission. But we played the first mission. It was like, okay, cool, thanks.
And then
see ya.
Right.
Bedtime, you know, or snack time. I have a lot in common with my 3-year-old.
Both?
Yeah, could be. At the same time, just...
I would just suggest to play it and invest into all the scenarios because you might become more attached to your character.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
And how the game is played, so...
Because I came into gaming like playing D&D and Star Wars RPGs, all the different kinds of RPGs that were out in the late 80s, early 90s.
Right. And see, this game will still connect to the other storylines, but it still has its own storyline. So if you like a good story, I mean, I think it's got a great story.
I'm going to check it out, and I'm going to play it with some of this passionate.
You, we can sit here and talk about deck builders all night.
We can do that. I could do that. I just can't do it with Aeon's End.
Okay.
But I do love deck builders. I love a good deck builder. So moving on, other than other breaking news, Fast Slots just has come out in the last week. So I need to get my hands on a copy of that somewhere. Fast Slots. You're a sloth at a resort with other animals. Okay? So it's like a resort for animals.
And you're fast.
No, you're a sloth.
Right.
You're not fast.
Okay.
The resort has like all these really cool things like around the resort and there's like food and stuff and you want to go and do all of that.
Mm-hmm. But you're a sloth. So how do you get to do all this stuff?
You draw cards, and on the cards there are pictures of the other animals that are at the resort. So maybe an elephant, you hitch a ride with an elephant over to the snack bar and then you can get some food. Or maybe a group of ants carry you around. So it is a pick-up and deliver game where you are the goods being picked up and delivered.
Okay.
So you're a sloth, and you're fast because you're using other animals to move you around.
That
I love it.
That sounds funny.
I love it. I don't care if the game is terrible. I don't think it will be. I want to play it. I want it.
I want to be a sloth.
I want to be a sloth. Fast Slots by Friedman Fries. He's made a lot of games. He's a very popular designer. Fast Slots.
Right.
Okay. I'll stop talking about Fast Slots for now. What games have you guys played anything recently? Is there any game recently that's kind of on your mind, you're kind of hyped about, anything like that?
Well, I backed the For Glory Kickstarter. That was
That
looked super nice.
That looks
that
up
looked
your
like
alley
it had
too.
All the fancy bits.
It does have all the fancy bits. It funded at a high level, right?
Yep.
A lot of stretch goals, all that good stuff.
So I'm pretty excited about that one. As far as games that are in my collection,
what'd you play last game night you had? Let's see. Because I don't think I was there.
Let's see. Last game night.
You played Villainous?
Yep.
And Sorcerer City, right?
Yep. Sorcerer City.
Okay. Out of the two, which was your favorite?
Villainous.
Okay.
No, so actually, then the game day.
Oh, we did?
Yeah. I really like Taverns of
Tiefenthal.
Tiefenthal, yeah.
That's tough to say.
I need to get my hands on that one.
That game's excellent.
Or there is always the infamous Game of Thrones.
Oh, we played a Game of Thrones. It was good.
It was great.
Came down to the wire. There was tension. It was stressful.
And who won, Tim?
I think I won just because I provided such an amazing experience for all the people that hadn't played before. But I think Caleb won if you're going to go by score.
By score, the Lannisters took it away.
I was a Baratheon. I almost had it. His brother totally chickened out, went after me instead of you.
Well, look.
You accused me of being so close to winning the game.
You were.
Not that close. Then you come in and just do your stuff while he's messing with me.
All right, look. In my defense.
It's garbage.
In my defense. Mm. If the Starks hadn't been utter cowards, then we might. Then you guys might have had a chance.
Whoa. You better hope he does not watch this. Or that I don't send this link with time-coded to him.
Go right ahead.
We'll just have to play again, right? So yeah, I was so excited because I love Game of Thrones. I love playing that game.
Right.
I think it's a lot of fun.
Now I need to get, apparently there's like 3 expansions for it. I need to get those.
No. There's 1 expansion. The other expansions were for the first edition.
Okay.
And the second edition incorporated those expansions.
A couple of them. Okay.
Like the catapults and some of that stuff.
Right.
I've got all of it.
Okay, because there's stuff like there's an Essos map or at least half of it.
That's
or
like
something.
The Daenerys.
Yeah,
that's
the
extra
like,
player.
You get like the Targaryens and the Aerons in there. Because I was telling you, man, Aerons got the short end of the stick here.
No, the Aerons stink anyways. Stink. But yeah, no, I'm glad you had a good time. I'm glad you brought it. It was really good, and I'm really glad you liked Taverns of Tiefenthal.
Oh, yeah.
You played
love
that, right? That game is amazing.
Love that
Did you
one.
Play that with him? Last weekend? No, you were doing a different thing. Were you playing Root? Did you play Root?
No.
I'm going to stop asking. I'll just let you tell me what you played last weekend.
I just talked about it last time.
You played that David Company?
Yes, but I don't think it's David.
Oh, something like that. I don't
John's
know.
John's Company.
John's Company.
There we go. Common. I think that's the game it was. That was still a pretty great game.
Did you play? You played Crokinole.
Yes.
Too. Crokinole is pretty awesome. Okay, well, I won't bug you. Have you played any games since then?
I had a game night with family, but it was more like Clue and the Game of Life.
No, actually, I like Clue.
Well, this was Master Detective, so it was like a brand new Clue.
Well, that's way too highbrow to discuss on our show.
Okay.
So we will move on to the topic that I picked for the evening. I need to talk about my game, and that's what spawned this topic. I finally got a game off my shelf of shame that I've been wanting to play for a long time. Mexica.
Okay.
It's an older game from like 2000, early 2000s. I have the nicer, newer edition.
Okay.
But still, I think even if I played the old edition, like the nice new bits would not have mattered. Right. But you're the Aztecs, you're building their capital city. It's on an island. And you're using canals and temples to make districts, and you're scoring the districts. It's very easy to teach and learn. Spencer, who's been on the show before, Spencer and I pulled it out of the box.
Okay.
We were up and running in like 10 minutes, right? Like we had it set up, we're reading the rules, and you've got action points. You can spend your action points to do as many things as you have points for.
Right.
Next person's turn.
Right.
And you just go around and you're carving up this island, making districts, and we're blocking each other's movement. It was fantastic.
Doing all the good territory stuff.
Doing all the good territory stuff. It is fantastic. I can't wait to play it with like 4 people because it's going to be nerve-wracking.
Right.
Because it's one thing when you're like, because you're trying to make districts and they have to be an exact amount of spaces.
Mm.
And you're blocking them off with canals and there's things that can get in the way. So you really have to kind of get clever. With stuff like your first 1 or 2 are real easy, right? You're like, I just need 3. I'm going to block it off right here. Boom, done. But then it starts to get like, I had formed a really nice district, but I didn't have the points to get over to it. Mm. And of course, Spencer had just enough to swipe it from me.
Right.
And then there's like an end game condition where if you're on the temple in the center, or if you're in the king's palace that's in the center of the map, you get 5 extra points.
Ooh.
Spencer blocked me. from getting to the palace.
That sounds like something Spencer would do.
He beat me by 2 points.
That sounds, to be honest, that sounds like something I would do.
I warned him that I said, if you beat me by 5 or less points, I will never forgive you. That's what happened.
You know, somehow, I'm not over it. Somehow I don't think Spencer's losing any sleep over that.
Oh, not a bit. He probably went to sleep right afterwards, took a micro nap, woke back up just to demonstrate how little he cared that right. He beat me.
Right, by less than 5 points.
Oh my gosh. It was so good, though. This is a classic game. You can find this game anywhere.
Good.
I strongly, strongly recommend Mexica. I'm going to make other people start to play it with me because it's really good. It is a classic evergreen game, really solid. So, now, segue into our topic. I want to talk about the Shelf of Shame, or the Shelf of Opportunity, if you want to talk nicely.
You got to be positive.
Positive about it. So, I have a large game collection. I have a lot of games on my Shelf of Shame, and some of them sit there for too long. I've had Mexico for like a year and a half. I got it in a trade.
Wow.
Yeah. I've got games that I've had longer. I really don't want to talk about it.
I have a game like from 2016 still sitting in shrink wrap.
There you go. See? So anyways, Shelf of Shame. Couple things. Do you have any games on your Shelf of Shame? How long will a game sit on your Shelf of Shame before you're like, I either have to play this or get rid of it? And, or maybe you're just really amazing and don't have a Shelf of Shame. I have literally gone, you know what? I need to get this game played and had people come over and like, just, we are going to play this game. Like, there's no discussion. Like, there's no debate. Like, no, we're not going to peruse the collection. Well, I want to play. No. Coming over to play this. I need 5 people. Don't talk to me until you're here. Let's play. So anyways, what's your take on a Shelf of Shame?
So mine's actually pretty small. I have Gear World, Crusader Kings, my copy of Photosynthesis, but I played Photosynthesis.
So I don't think that counts because you played it.
And then Mice and Mystics.
Oh, yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
Okay, that's not bad.
That's pretty much my Shelf of Shame right there.
That's good. That's good. You should be able to, like, and now have you opened up the games?
Yes.
Are they still in shrink?
No, I've opened them.
No judgment, because I have games still in shrink on my Shelf
of Shame. I have plenty of judgment.
That's fair.
The best part is opening it and punching everything out.
It kind of is. It's very therapeutic. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So yeah, that'd be my Shelf of Shame. I've got like, what was it, three games on it?
I think you have 4.
But if you can't,
I'm going to keep adding games. Like if you ask me again, I'm going to say 5.
Okay. So
Full disclosure.
So pretty small. I mean, I think Gear World has been on there the longest. I think it's been there since like last year around Christmas time.
Did you get it for Christmas?
No, I got it in a trade deal or something like that. So sure. I think my plan is to take it and that Magic the Gathering game that I also got that day, which I have played, and I'm not a big fan of it, and put those on a trade table or something.
Sure. That's fine. So Gear World, just for example, because you haven't played it.
Right.
Are you trading it because it just doesn't look that interesting? You picked it up because it was like the only thing? Or is it like, I've had this too long, I need to get rid of it?
Both.
Okay. Do you have it like a timeline in your mind? Like, if I don't get this game played in X amount of time, I need to get rid of it?
No, not really. I kind of just look at my collection and go, what does not see much table time?
Sure.
And what, if it was not here, would I not miss?
Sure.
Right? So, like, for instance, Rising Sun, right?
Right.
Maybe I play it, you know, 4 or 5 times a year.
Right.
Maybe. Will I miss it if it's gone? You bet your ass I would.
Yes. Like Shadows over Camelot.
Exactly. I've got that one. When was the last time I played it? Who knows?
Well, I've only played it once, and that was with you. Right. That might have been the last time you played it.
Probably, but it's like a staple in my collection.
Oh, it's a great
game.
It was
one of the first games I ever got, you know, in the real board game world, Small World.
Yep.
So it's like, I'd miss it if it was gone.
Sure, I get it. Now, you have heard me ask him all of these pressing, driving questions, so you need to have answers now.
Okay.
So what are some games on your Shelf of Shame?
Well,
let's hear about these new and shrink games.
I was going to say, I bought some, like, theme games. So I have, like, a Walking Dead.
Prisoner Escape. Oh, sure. Okay, yeah.
I have a Rick and Morty Anatomy Park
Oh, right on.
But some of the other games, like, so before I got into board games, like, we'd have family get-togethers, gatherings, holidays.
Right.
And we'd only play, like, Euchre or something like that. Yeah, so Euchre's I fine. Would just go out and I would just binge, like, oh, this looks like something my family played, or this would look like, you know.
Just to get something else
in right. There. And so I've gathered enough of those games where my family like one or two, and those are the only ones they want to play.
Right.
So if I go, well, let's learn something new, and they're like, nah, that's too hard. I just want to play this other game I like already. So I guess that's kind of where my shelf sits.
Sure.
I would say I have enough games that I play on a regular basis that could probably fill up an entire row here.
A row?
Yeah. And then, like, my shelf is probably about two little cubes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Not your shelf of shame, just your whole game shelf. Well, or your shelf of shame is two cubes?
Yes.
All right. You guys are both way better than me. So
we don't move as many games as you do.
That's true, too.
I also get invited.
You hustle and bustle for those things.
I do. I like to wheel and deal a little bit sometimes.
I get invited to game nights quite often, so.
You do.
I get to play what other people have on their shelf of shame.
Right, and so sometimes it's tough, right? Because we have a game night. Everybody shows up with, like, a bag of games. And then, like, how do you... Everybody's kind of, like, jockeying to get their game played. Now, sometimes it's like, oh, no, Caleb brought this. We're playing this, right? I mean, sometimes that's right. What happens, you know. And we've all kind of had that moment. Right. But, you know, sometimes you're just like, well, I guess I just...
Typically...
Take my little bag of games and go over here. Right.
Typically, decorum for at least our game night is whoever doesn't make it as often... Whoever doesn't make it as often typically gets preferential treatment.
Oh, I thought you guys just liked me.
No, because you never show up.
I'm busy. I want to be there. I got a wife and kids. We do this show. We got stuff going on, man.
It's true.
We got irons in the fire.
It's true.
We got the Meeple Society.
Yeah.
But I cheat and use, like, those opportunities, though, sometimes to get games played.
Yeah.
So, like, I knew I had some time to play a game, and... It's like, okay, I'm going to get a review game done, and I'm going to get a game off my shelf of shame done. And so we did the shelf of shame game
right. First.
And yeah, we played Mexica. It was fantastic. I'm going to bring it in, and we are going to do a review of Mexica because I love it that much. I want to talk about it some more.
Okay.
I now want to make other people play it. But now it's like, well, now I've got that I want to play. Mm. And now I'm ignoring the shelf of shame. This is not my shelf of shame, full disclosure. These are not my games. I would take a bunch of them, though, because I think I like a bunch of them.
Right.
Especially Ascension up here. It's a deck builder. I really like Ascension. And there is a shortage of Ascension in my library. I play the app version, and I've got almost all of the expansions on the app version. So I've kind of cheated by not...
I just would like to point out, you said I cheated twice now.
What?
So I'm going to keep that on record, and I will replay this video for you later.
Hmm. Like if we're discussing how I won a game?
Yeah, any games in general. You win by a point, I'm going to replay this video.
Clipped,
Tim's a cheater. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I get you. I see what you're saying. But yeah, so the Shelf of Shame. Mexico was on there. I've got, like, Runebound. You've played Runebound, right?
I have played Runebound, yeah.
I've got the Gigantic Ogre.
Okay.
Which is a huge box, still in shrink. Mm. I need to open that bad boy up and play it. But it's like two players. And I just need, like, the right people. Like, we need to just sit on, like, the floor.
Did you get hate, or did you get rid of that?
No, I have hate, but I have played it.
Okay.
We just need to play it again. Did you play hate with me?
I was on that night.
That's a good game.
Yes, it is.
Very good game.
I haven't played it.
Oh, you'd like it.
It is spiteful
and mean and cutthroat. It is everything you love in a game.
Listen to the way he describes me.
This man drinks tears to maintain this youthful face. Tell me I'm wrong.
That's fair.
It's only because his family won't let him bring gallons of blood in the house to bathe in.
Okay.
But yeah, hate was on there for a little bit, but thankfully, like, that was kind of hot enough that I could say, hey guys, who wants to play? Like, oh, this looks crazy. Like, let's play this. But so it's tough because also when you get new games, if you get too many new games at once.
Yeah.
I run into that problem. Yeah, you can't get too many.
No, you kind of have to. Then you kind of have this piling. Okay, I'm done. Da-dun.
Yeah, you got to whittle them down, right?
And you also have to kind of bring in the games that, you know, old favorites that you still want to get some table time to.
Let me just give you some advice on your specific.
Yeah.
One game specifically on your shelf. Do not get rid of Mice and Mystics.
Yeah, it's I don't play it too.
It's really good. It's really good. The story's really fun.
So, Mice and Mystics, as well as Journeys in Middle Earth, I have a feeling that at some point I'm going to get like a buddy or like one other person and just run through them.
Run through a bunch of them. Yeah. And so, for example, Shelf of Shame. Yeah. You helped me get a game off my Shelf of Shame the last game night that we were at. Hunt for the Ring. Right. I had Hunt for the Ring for almost a year.
Right.
Had never played it. Mm. And it's like everything in the game would indicate that I want to play this, right? It's Lord of the Rings.
Absolutely.
It's hidden movement, right? You know, there's somebody trying to sneak through. Like, I love those kind of games.
Right.
So it's like, why haven't we played this? And I lucked out, right? I brought it, and you were like, this.
Right. Lord of the Rings, man. This one. I'm in.
We're doing it. So
love Lord of the Rings. If it's got Lord of the Rings on it, I'll play it.
Right. Right. And the nice thing is with Tyler will, I can be like, hey, man, like, I need to get this game played. What are you doing? And if he's not doing anything, my doorbell rings.
Okay. We don't need to throw my social life under the bus.
No. I'm saying that as a compliment because you come out and you help me get games played. You help me work through and learn games. Because what happens, right, is you and I are the guys that read the rules and end up teaching the games when we do game nights, conventions, and like we're playing a bunch of games with other people.
Right.
So can you guys just learn this and teach this to us? And it's like, well, I guess. I mean, I want to play it, so I guess that's how it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I just want to sit back sometimes and be taught a game. But nobody cares about what I want. Right?
You bring this on yourself.
I do.
This is where you play the Tim saying, I cheat again.
No. Well, that's why you don't let me teach games then. That's on you. If you go to play poker with a known scoundrel and you get scalped, that's on you.
That's on. That's
right? Fair. Right? So I tend to try to organize events or game days or game nights specifically to get something played. And sometimes I'm lazy and don't read the rules ahead of time. Most of the times I try to have like kind of an idea of how it works and then just like, hey, bear with me. We're going to get through this. But I've been also trying to be better about culling that shelf of shame also. Now, if a game's really hard to get, I tend to just hold on to it.
Yeah.
But if it's pretty out there all the time, I will either like, I will donate it or I'll give it to a friend or I trade it.
See, a game that is not on my shelf of shame because I've played it, but it falls into the same category as like Shadows Over Camelot because the last time I played it, who knows?
Sure.
It's Terraforming Mars. I never get to play Terraforming Mars. Ever.
Do you love Terraforming Mars?
I do. I love Terraforming Mars.
It's a great game.
But I never get to play it. Because my brother hates it. Mm. And I'm like, well...
How does he hate it?
He always goes, it takes too long, Caleb.
And this is ironic, because your brother likes to take long turns.
I know.
So if a game takes too long...
He also seems to not have any objection to playing Twilight Imperium.
Right. Right. He would hate playing with me, though. Because I remember, even we were playing Game of Thrones. I'm like, Jesse, come on. We're all waiting on you. Because I like to keep a game moving.
Right.
I don't apologize for it. I try not to be rude.
Sure.
And I know Jesse, right? Like, I can give him a hard time. Like, and it's fun and not, like, just being a jerk. Because I don't want to be that either. But I do like to kind of keep the pace of the game going. But, so Photosynthesis, why haven't you played that yet?
Because I got it with Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, so you've had it for like a few weeks.
Yeah, for like a couple of weeks. And I played a different copy of Photosynthesis, like literally.
Since
I got my copy, I played a different copy in a game store at Fort Wayne last Saturday.
Bragging.
That's cool. That was because I was in the area and I was like, oh, I got some time to go. Let's go play a board game.
It's like, makes sense.
You know, and I had someone with me who was not. He wasn't a big gamer.
Sure.
So I was like, okay, let's play something that's got a little bit of crunch to it, but that you can still hopefully, you know, get the hang of.
So side note, I'm curious. The person that was not like a huge gamer that played Photosynthesis, what did they think?
She enjoyed it. She was definitely she was getting the hang of it as we were going, but
sure.
You know, by the end of it,
some early bad moves in photosynthesis can kind of ruin your day.
Well, and you know, I was kind of playing the devil against myself, like,
oh sure,
you sure you want to play there, you know, and you know, I was kind of making a point, you know, I'd point to each tree and go, how many points do you get for that? How many points do you get for that?
Oh, so she was miserable the whole time.
Yeah, basically. I was making her do the work.
Yeah, right. You like photosynthesis, right?
Yes.
Do you own it?
Yes.
I thought you did.
It's a good game.
Like it's very pretty. I am terrible at it. I am really bad at it.
I don't necessarily think it's something that if I was terrible at, and I'm probably still not the best, but it's just a game I just like to play. It's something different.
Yeah, it's definitely different.
I mean, it's
a change of pace.
See,
right.
Oh, it's pretty, and it's it's cutthroat territory control.
Well, have you played Arboretum?
No.
Oh my gosh, Arboretum is this beautiful game where you've got these cards with trees on them, and you're building these paths.
Sure.
And then it gets really, really mean. So mean. Have you played Arboretum? Haven't you?
I don't believe so.
Oh my gosh, we need to remedy that. Arboretum is amazing, and it's so mean. So mean because. You can score, you get these paths, right? Mm-hmm. And you've got these trees connected and they've got numerical values. So you start at the lowest, you go to the highest, right? Mm-hmm. Then at the end of the game, for each tree type, everybody's going to play cards that they have left.
Okay.
And if you have the highest number of that type, let's say maple, you get to score maple.
Okay.
If you don't have any maple trees out in front of you, and I've got this nice, you get no points and I get no points. But I would have gotten 30 points for my amazing thing.
Wow.
Oh, it's mean. It's really good. It's really good. And they reprinted it 2 years ago. It used to be really hard to find. And I played my sister's copy of it and was like, this game's amazing. I need to have it. And it wasn't anywhere. Now you can get it.
This is where we likely need to contact a professional because Tim and I have a very unhealthy love-hate relationship.
We actually... Tyler and I as well. This is the thing that I breed with my friends for some reason, is it's like, oh no, we're all fun, easygoing guys. And then we sit there and play games sharpening daggers.
Right.
Where will this fit in your back? Oh, and I got one over here. This is perfect. Oh wait, I've been stabbed 30 times.
I've got you between the ribs.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is what it is. We need to find nice, really nice friendly games that we can't.
You will notice that I like to play co-op games, so that way I'm not constantly trying to stab you in the back.
That's true.
But at the same time, Werewolf is still a favorite game of mine.
See, or Wolves of Mercia.
See, here's the thing. Knowing me and Tim, even if we were playing Zombicide or some co-op game, we'd find a way to stab each other in the back.
There'd be a way or two. But I will say, right, as competitive and as cutthroat as we are, we are fantastic teammates when we play co-ops.
Can be.
Right?
Right.
I've played co-ops with both of you separately, and we are usually pretty dang good.
Yeah, we played the ring one.
Hunt for the Ring.
Hunt for the Ring.
We're amazing.
We had him down. We had him pegged like a post. We were like, he's got to be there. He was there.
If we flipped the board over and played the second half of that scenario, we'd have had him. He is done. He was done.
Yes.
He's over there sweating. We're like, okay, it's over here. We're going over here. And he's like.
If he went there, then I'm guessing he'd be over here. Because if he tried to double back, there's no way he's going to have enough moves to get there in time.
It was crazy. Mm-hmm. It was intense.
So he has to go there. He doesn't have a choice. And then, you know, you just see him go
and his brother, nobody, right? You can read, you can, no poker face.
Read him like a book.
Oh, yeah. I love it. And I love to call him out on it, too, though. He's that. Right. You know, that's this.
Right.
Now, you're a little more stoic, so you're tougher to read. And it really frustrates me. Because I'm pretty good at reading people most of the time.
What happened that Rebellion game we were playing? You were so sure that I was at a few different planets.
Uh-huh.
And I was literally next to you the whole time, and you just never were able to pinpoint that. Because I wouldn't show you that I was worried that your whole fleet was surrounding the one planet I was at.
No. Ice in your veins.
Yes.
I think that you're a lizard person. It's the only way to explain it.
What can I say?
It's the only way to explain it.
Anyway, so back to Shelves of Shame.
Shelves of Shame. So I've been trying to be better about culling my shelf, or I'm just going to play this dang game.
Sure.
Because I've got games like upstairs, like on a bunch of shelves.
So do you have a timeline? Is there like a certain amount?
I'm trying to get better. Because I've had games for a couple of years.
Right.
And it's like, can I let this go? No, I really want to play this.
Right.
But then sometimes you just need the stars to align in the right way for that to happen. But one day I'm going to rip the shrink off of that gigantic ogre game, and it's going to be awesome.
Okay.
I can't wait to play it because I love tactical strategy games with people that are like-minded, right?
And then, so I guess the other question is, do you have are there circumstances where you would just go, it's been on there for a while, you know, I'm just going to nick, when's the next trade table?
Right. Well, yes. Yes, there are circumstances where that has even already happened. But I kind of go through a couple criteria, I guess. Who will I play this with?
Mm-hmm.
Do I hold on to this because I'm going to get to play with my kids? Right? So I have I have Mice and Mystics. I've played it once. I'm waiting for Mallory to get just a little bit older. She's 8. I think.
10. Or...
I think 9 even. Okay. I think. Because it's not that she doesn't understand the rules. It's just holding her attention for long enough. So some games it's I will play this with my kids, or I'm going to try to play with my kids before I give it that last go. Right. But you want it to have a fair shot. And then there's some games where it's I just don't think I'm going to get this dang thing played.
Right.
And it's I can give it to somebody, or I can trade it. Or we do raffles and prizes and our big game group. So I just end up donating a lot of stuff there. And I try not to just donate junk games, right? So some of them are actually, I like to think are actually halfway decent games.
Right.
But Flick 'em Up. I had an extra copy of Flick 'em Up. And it's well, I can keep this and let my kids just destroy it. Or I can, you know, try to raise some money for a good cause, and get rid of it. But I still have my own copy of Flick 'em Up. I'm not that magnanimous.
Right.
But I'm trying to be better. Mm. Because initially when I got into the hobby and it's I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this.
That's good. That's going to my collection. That'll look pretty on my shelf. That's got nice artwork. Let's put that up there, right?
Right. And and I go to conventions, right? And they do flea markets and you can pick stuff up for really cheap. And so you come home with a bunch of games.
Sure.
And you're like, oh no, I got to play all of these. Or I got to start getting rid of them.
I can only imagine what your wife says.
It's not repeatable in a public forum. But here's one that I absolutely want to play it before I get rid of it. Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
So Planet of the Apes is a co-op. You can actually play it solo. I've almost broken down and played it solo, but I'm I just want to play with some friends and try it. But I will not get rid of Planet of the Apes until I get a game of it in with people.
Okay.
Cry Havoc. Okay. Cry Havoc was a very, very, very popular game 2-3 years ago.
Okay.
I played half a game and we ran out of time.
Ooh.
And I was kind of on the fence when we played it, but we were playing with a funky player count and we were kind of still working through the rules. And again, half of a game.
Mm.
It's tempting to get rid of it, but it's man, if I just, I need to give this game a fair shot before
just
I get rid of
one
it.
One more go.
Right. Right. So I have sort of a nebulous criteria that applies over here and doesn't apply
Depends
over
on
here.
The day and also, what does the stars and the moon look like? Can I go, let's see.
Oh, what game?
That one.
What game's coming out and I need how much money? Okay.
How much can I sell that for again?
Right. So, I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to streamline the collection.
Sure.
A little bit. Not too
much. Well, and with a collection as big as yours, to expect any given game to be played regularly is hard.
Right. And so, you said, with Shadows over Camelot.
Right.
There are some games that I will never get rid of.
Right.
Right? Like Cthulhu Wars. But at Cthulhu Wars, I play that several times a year.
Sure.
And get it played several times a
year.
Like Lords of Hellas. I will never get rid of my Lords of Hellas. I love my Lords of Hellas. Well, I was going to say I haven't played it this year, but this year's pretty young still.
Right.
But I need to play that again. So,
Which my brother really wants to play that with you, and if you play it before, if you play it without him, he'll be so upset.
Okay. I'll keep that. Okay, so like next meetup or something, we're going to have to do it. Or I can bring it to a game night.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Yeah.
So those are my games. Do you have a way or a timeline where you would just be like, I got to get rid of this. I'm done with this.
I mean, I expect to get more games as time goes on. I mean, I don't have shelves yet.
Right.
I have like very limited space.
But, sure.
You know, something I've heard of, like, I've heard teachers that have like board game clubs and stuff mm-hmm. like that at school, and they're always looking for games and stuff. And I know how hard it is to get like school supplies for board games, especially. But
if you can find a good board game club that needs a library, yeah, that is a noble cause, right?
So answering that question, like, that probably be something that I would do once I got to an extent. Because like I said, I've got a game.
Don't be
like
dropping off them Rick and Morty
games. No. I'm just saying, like, the game that I have that's like 4 years old now. It's like, Why do I even still have this?
Sure, you know. Sure. I mean, well, like when we went to Geekway and they give you copies of a game, you know, like as part of the door prize. But then my wife goes and she has the same copy of the same game.
Right.
And then like her sister and her brother-in-law go and now they've got copies. So now there's like, you know, and then other people like you and Bob, other people from our group go. And now we've got like 8 copies mm-hmm. of the same game. I keep one. And it's like, okay, who, like Christmas, like who didn't go to that convention? We can give this away. You know, where can I donate this?
How much is this worth?
Get rid of it, you know, and trade it. And because I feel like I need to give those games a fair shot.
Right.
Right. So like the one that we got last year to stop a thief or to catch a thief. To catch
something
a thief,
like
something
that,
along
yeah.
those lines. I still have it in shrink.
I mean, that's the games I'm mostly talking about.
Right. Shogunate. Shogunate's not bad. Did you play that?
It was okay.
We played it. You might not have been there. We played it at Spencer's game night one time. Shogunate was pretty good. But it was good to like get that played with like a high player count and check it out with people that weren't already kind of a little jaded towards the game.
Yeah, I think I remember that one.
Because you're moving up like the dojo, the different like clans, right?
Yeah.
And you're trying to anticipate, you've got like a secret alliance or affiliation, so you're trying to set it up.
I think I remember that one.
So I kind of go back and forth between having a oh, I want to try this. No, I need to get rid of it. But with smaller collections like you guys, I thought it would be interesting to just see if you've already got like parameters set up, you know, or things in mind where it's like, no, I got to get rid of this.
Basically, I do that thing that that one lady on the internet is always, you know, there's always memes for.
Does it bring you joy?
Does it spark joy? No.
Problem is that almost every board game sparks joy for me. Except for Champions of Midgard. And Villainous.
Don't like Villainous?
No. You were there when we talked about Villainous.
I was.
It's too long.
Tim needs a secret dungeon to store all of his games in.
I do. My wife, she's like, well, I know you don't have a secret family because it's right here on these shelves. It is your board games. So, yeah, I need a secret dungeon. Or I will settle for a basement. I will stay dry.
Settle for a bit.
I don't need a dungeon, but if it had like an Iron Maiden, you know, or something, that'd be cool.
Do you know, just, do you know those were never used historically?
That's really disappointing.
They were a Victorian era kind of provision.
Provision?
Addition. Like,
oh, okay. like decoration.
Yeah, so like people in the Victorian era were very, they were like, they wanted the medieval era to be a lot more exciting than it really was. And so they made up a bunch of stuff.
So you mean to tell me, if I go to medieval times and walk through their like little history of torture and they show all those torture devices, that's not real?
Maybe, but it may be real, but if there's an Iron Maiden, it is not.
Oh, man. I'm not going to medieval times with you because you will ruin all of it. You'll be like, well, that's not accurate. And it's only because you're smart and you know that stuff and I am jealous. So there, you have it. But anyways, this has been the Board Game Rundown. I hope we have provided at least some insight, maybe sparked some conversations. You can talk about what idiots we are. It's fine.
My goal is always entertainment.
I think we're at very least entertaining,
that's
right?
That's the hope. Right.
Right. Is there anything else before we go? Anybody? Anything.
We've covered just everything.
All right. So somebody call Tyler, play his Rick and Morty Anatomy Park with him. So he can decide whether or not to to keep it.
Give I'm going to keep it. Life.
Oh, you're going to keep it?
I'm going to keep it.
You're going to keep it. Yeah. And somebody played Gear World with Caleb.
Does it spark joy?
I've not heard good things. I'm sorry.
That's fair.
Did you? Yeah, I might have even known who you got that from because I was with him when he bought it. And I think he tried to play it once and was like, this is garbage. But I don't want to color your experience.
Right.
Right. And I haven't actually played it. So I can't be like, nah, that's junk. So I won't. Maybe it's great. I hope it is.
Maybe.
Maybe it'll spark joy for someone else.
Will I play it before I get rid of it? Who knows? No, not likely.
So anyways, for the board game rundown, I've been Tim.
Caleb.
And Tyler.
Have a great night and thanks for watching. Thanks for watching Board Game Rundown. If you liked what you saw,
give us a thumbs up.
Hit subscribe.
And definitely ring that bell.